And welcome into hour number three of the Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106.3 the game, round two of the high school football playoffs underway, fast and furious, scores coming in left and right. Big Joe alongside Big Kenny, Elijah Campbell down the line with you till midnight tonight. A lot of fun, a lot of hearts can be broken tonight, but my goodness, we got some great football games that are shaping up. Has to do with the top and the bottom of every hour, scoreboard time. Hit it, Kenny. All right, here we go. Beach over Smyrna, 10-0. Brentwood Academy over Pope John Paul, 17-0. Cane Ridge over Clarksville, 36-6. Clay County, 20. Whitwell, 0. Coffee County, 10. Blackman, 7. East Robertson, 14. Bledsoe, 0. Fayetteville, 14. Dresden, 3. Friendship Christian, 7. DCA, 0. Giles County, 14. Loudon, 0. Lewis County, 21. Adamsville, 0. Lipscomb over Silverdale, 21-0. NBA over Christian Brothers, 14-0. Mount Juliet leads Page, 10-7. Riverside over Mount Pleasant, 12-7. Nolensville, White County tied at 21. Oakland is now up over Lebanon, 21-7. Pearl Cone leads Hardin County, 14-7. Smith County over Fairview now, 14-0. East Nashville has increased their lead over Waverly. This came fast and furious. East Nashville leads 28-12. Henry County over Portland, 21-0. Chattanooga Christian over FRA, 14-0. Upperman leads East Hamilton, 28-27. Knox Webb on top of Davidson Academy. That game's now 21-0. And Gordonsville over South Pitt, 14-6. And Tyner leads Westmoreland right now, 14-10. And I got to tell you, what still stands out as we go into the third hour, Elijah, this White County-Nolensville game, because Nolensville's been on a tear in 5A all year long, but tied at 21 like we thought it would be right now. This is going to be a fantastic game because one team likes to throw the ball, mix up a little bit, and one team doesn't know what the forward pass is. That's what makes high school football so wonderful.
Oh, yes, absolutely. White County with an all-world running back and an incredibly great rushing quarterback. They definitely play like they're like one of the military academies, very fitting on Veterans Day for a team that plays like Navy, Army, and Air Force to be rushing amok to potentially score 50 points tonight the old-fashioned way. I'm very excited to see how that one goes, and I'm actually really surprised that it is tied at 21. I know it's probably bad to say, but I just didn't think White County defensively would be able to keep Nolensville off the scoreboard enough to be able to hang around in this game, but I guess if you're moving the ball methodically, like White County is able to do, that maybe you don't score without maybe taking off some time off the clock. But if this game ends like White County has had, like many of their games have this year, it's probably going to go by way of 1 point. Because, Joe, out of the 11 games White County has played, they have 5 games decided by one possession or less.
Oh. How many of those did they win? Can you figure
absolutely
that out?
Right in front of me. Beat Warren County by 1. So that's 1-0 in those games. Beat Cookeville by 5. That massive shootout. 2-0 those games. They lost Mount Juliet by 2. So 2-1 in those games. Beat Green Hill by 1. 3-1 in those games. Lost to Wilson Central by 3. So they are 3-2 in games decided by one possession.
My goodness. Well, that's pretty good, though. I mean, it's better than being 0-5 like that. But that's go ahead.
A coin flip. I mean, it's a coin flip. The law of averages should say in those close games, you win about as many as you lose. The law of regression is doesn't really take into play here. This can go either way.
Yeah, and that's another reason why we love high school football that goes on with that right there. Smith County up over Fairview, 14-0. I thought for Smith with Fairview, the way they like to throw the football would be on the board earlier, but now in the second quarter, looks like Smith County's in firm control of that game, Elijah.
I think the fun part about Smith County and the most underrated part about them, Joe, is that defensively they do see a lot of passing teams, and a lot of in 3A you don't see a ton of that, but DeKalb County is one of the best passing teams even at the 4A level, and Smith was able to pretty much keep them in check for their game, right? Like that was I'm trying to find the score. That was a very early season game when they did play DeKalb County. It was a 17-14 loss. They ended up losing that game, but they've seen teams that, that can throw the ball a little bit as well. And East Nashville, a team that is really great through the air, as we're seeing tonight, apparently it is the Frank Gordon show over in Waverly right now. If you're following Junie on Twitter, you're seeing what East Nashville is doing through the air. It's not easy to have to defend that air attack. And East Nashville's only able to muster a couple touchdowns against Smith County. Defensively, they are probably one of the more underrated defensive units in all of high school football, as well as one of the more underrated teams. I mean, I bet that place, the atmosphere is rocking, Joe, and it's having an effect right now. That's a surprising score.
Yeah, it is. Brentwood Academy over Pope John Paul, 17-0. Mike Oregon reported earlier that Kenny Minchie started the game, went out a few plays into the game, is not returned. And you hate it for that man, Elijah. We've talked to the coach Snead up there this week throughout the season about Minchie and what he means to the team. And just, you know, I hope the young man is not hurt seriously. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if he needs to shut it down for high school and go to college, we wish him well. But what could have been if that young man had been healthy all year long?
Yeah, and Coach Rector from Father Ryan earlier today, too, when we had him on in the first hour, was just talking about how he thought he was the best quarterback in the state and from a pure quarterbacking standpoint. And that's high praise because the state is loaded with great quarterback play, right? It is very unfortunate to see, like, obviously one injury is unfortunate. He's dealt with some this year. He's had to miss some time, and that's a very unfortunate time for him to go down. Hopefully he's okay to be able to enroll at Pitt and be able to step in right away. And Lord knows the Pittsburgh Panthers could probably use a little additional help at the quarterback play.
Yeah.
Slovis hasn't been the breakout star that maybe some expected. So it's one of those things that you hope you can be healthy enough to fulfill the career that we know he can have.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phone line brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises and bring in Lance Mackey, who's at the Cane Ridge Clarksville game. What's the update, Lance?
What's up, guys? After the Wildcat snuck in that last touchdown to end the half, Cane Ridge drove down the field, and senior quarterback Abdullah threw his fifth touchdown of the game to his fourth different receiver, this time to senior wide receiver Moses Phillips. And we have a halftime score of 36-6, Ravens over the Wildcats.
Let me ask you this. It seems like Cane Ridge is pretty much imposing their will all night long. Is that what you're getting? I mean, you got a quarterback who's thrown for five touchdowns tonight. Usually Cane Ridge likes to run the ball, but, man, they're taking it to him tonight, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. On offense, they're doing everything. That first drive was a big mix of run and pass, a lot more run, though. And then since then, they've been getting in third and long situations, some fourth and long also, and they're converting. As we've kind of been talking about in the booth, the DBs for Clarksville are seeing ghosts right now. They're playing, you know, 15 yards off the ball, and they're still just getting completely torched. We'll see what the second half has to do with them. Clarksville gets the ball to start, so let's see if they can get some momentum here.
Hey, Lance, you're out in Antioch at Cane Ridge, and I know you live in East Nashville, correct?
Yes, sir.
Can you come by here and bring some food later on your way home? Because Kenny and I would like some tacos.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Uh-oh. You said okay.
Yeah, I tried. So we got it.
You're holding to it.
All right. Thank you, Lance.
Oh, yeah. I always got you. Should I hang up now, or you want me to stay on the line?
No, hang up. Go get tacos. All right. Thanks, Lance.
I'll see you later, guys.
All right. See you, buddy. Lance Mackey at the Cane Ridge Clarksville game. All right, Elijah, let's kind of look ahead. If Cane Ridge holds up, they're going to win this game. So they'll go. Right now, it's third quarter now. Beach leads Smyrna 10-0, which is – they've been able to slow down that offense from Beach, but can't put any points on the board. So if it holds steady next week, Beach at Cane Ridge in the quarterfinal in 6A, my goodness, will that be a game.
Epic. Epic is what that would be. That would be an epic showdown. Like that, to see that Beach defense paired up against that Cane Ridge offense would be one of the better, I guess, pairings of offense and defense you could mix and match throughout the state. Oh, that would be great. Beach just to hold on, though. It sounds like Smyrna's really, really been able to at least slow the run game down enough to keep them out of the end zone. And that's honestly a big key you have to have when it comes to pulling off upsets. If you can make the other team settle for field goals once they get into the red zone, because it's an unrealistic expectation to keep Beach out of the red zone.
If you
keep them out of the end zone, you got a shot.
You do. Let's go back to the phone lines brought to you by Logic Helm Enterprises. Our Junie Riddle down in Waverly. East Nashville's got a big lead on Waverly. Junie, what's happening, brother?
Guys, this second quarter is absolutely bananas. It's going back and forth like no other game I have watched all year. And you've known I've gone to some of the biggest matchups in the state this season. This second quarter was unlike any other. I believe when I left you, Bobby Joyner had just scored their second touchdown of the game to go up 14-6. But that was just the beginning. East Nashville forced a punt on Waverly the next drive. And when East was backed up on a 3rd and 9 in their own territory, Beard throws a 40-yard bomb caught by the man himself, Bobby Joyner, for a 40-yard catch and a first down. Again, on a 3rd and 6 on the Waverly 40-yard line. He goes to Joyner again on a contested catch. And that 40-yard play and that on both third downs were some of the most highly contested catches I have seen by a young high school receiver all year long. They go on to score on that play again. So then when it looks like that East Nashville has all the momentum, they were up 20-6 at this point. Waverly draws up a halfback pass from Elliott to Landon Dooley to get inside the 15 of East Nashville. Elliott would end up capping off the drive and getting the two-point conversion. They did not get the two-point conversion. Then East Nashville gets the ball back again. 68-yard touchdown pass on the first play to Frank Gordon, their deep threat to go up 28-12 after they got the two-point conversion on that. Waverly then responds with only about 3.5 minutes left. They drive all the way down, and they get a score with only about a minute left to cut the lead 28-20. And then with 23 seconds left, Beard throws a 55-yard pass to Frank Gordon to set up on the 10-yard line of Waverly. With 8 seconds left, the next play goes back to Gordon for a 10-yard touchdown. They did not get the two-point conversion, and we are sitting at 34-20 at halftime with 4 touchdowns being scored in the second quarter. It has been bananas in this game, back and forth, big play after big play. It is highlighted by these receivers of East Nashville. I don't know what it is about me being in attendance for East Nashville games, but when it comes to Zach Beard and Frank Gordon and Bobby Joyner, these guys just want to put on a show for me. So, with that being said, this has got to be one of the craziest games I have seen all year long. Two explosive offenses absolutely going at it. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen in this second half.
Junie, thanks for the update, man. Go get some oxygen. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, y'all.
All right, Junie Riddle, my goodness.
That's insane.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more scores, more updates. This is the Game Blitz. We got you till midnight. As you heard right there, a lot of great games happening in round two. We're going to bring them all to you across Middle Tennessee. Listen to the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz Show on 102.5, 106 through the game, brought to you by National Playmakers Academy and Apple Collision Center. We got an update on the Brentwood Bruins playing on the west side of the state. Bartlett leads them 14-0 that game in the second quarter, Elijah. Not what we had planned and hoped for Brentwood, but it's still early. I can't remember the last team that got 14 points on them. It's been a while. That doesn't happen a lot to Brentwood.
That's very true. And unfortunately for Brentwood, playing from behind isn't necessarily something that's conducive to their success, right? Like they don't have an incredibly explosive offense, and a lot of the games that they've won, especially lately, towards the end of the season, they won by keeping them low score. The ultimate win to secure second place in their region was a 15-9 game against Centennial, a very good Centennial team. And of course, last year they held Collierville to 7. So they only had to score 17 to be able to pull off that win. Not many teams have been able to score that much. The last team to put up more than 2 touchdowns on them was Beach on October 21st, when they scored 27. in that game.
Wow, my goodness. It's been such a long time. CPA right now leads Lausanne. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but that school down in Memphis where
– Lausanne.
Lausanne. Yes. What was the –
Fighting Mark Gasols.
Yeah, there we go. That he went to high school there, correct?
Yeah. It was
when Powell played at Memphis. I got some stuff correct. Mm-hmm. But anyway, CPA trails right now 13-0
yeah,
in that game.
Go.
So it could be a long night for CPA. And then update Macaulay over Innsworth, 10-7. That's in the D2 West Region games that are happening right now. That's over at Innsworth, too, that's going on. Quick update for you again. Page now leads Mount Juliet 21-10. So I'm not sure.
Ooh.
Mount Juliet is well, they did against White County, but this is a good Page team they're playing tonight. I'm kind of shocked that scores that way. It's going to be tough for Mount Juliet to come back. We'll see what happens in that game. But they trail 21-10 right now.
Wow, and so if Page ends up winning this game, especially imagine if it's by a couple touchdowns, right? Then they would have swept the city of Mount Juliet to start their playoff run by significant margins, which would be a very significant feat.
Didn't they beat also Wilson Central? I think Nolensville. Or no, I'm sorry, I'm talking Nolensville. You're talking about Page. Same bracket,
yes.
Other side over there. What's going on? We just got stuff flying in here left and right that's going crazy right now. Nolensville just scored again. That's why I brought them up. They lead White County now 28-21. And I got a feeling, Elijah, that's not the last of the scoring we'll see in that game tonight.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm going to pull up the tweet too. Joe Spears from the D&J has done a fantastic job covering this game and pulling up his tweet now because he's got that game's at half. Nolensville up 28-21 at the half, and he tweeted some notable stats. And we talked about the rushing attack from White County being elite. Well, Malachi Dow's numbers at the half, 15 carries for 108 yards and a touchdown. Tripp Pinion, the quarterback for White County, 17 carries for 152 yards and two touchdowns. So as good as Malachi Dow was and unstoppable as he has been for a lot of this season, you still have to worry about Tripp Pinion because he is like the Keenan Reynolds, former Good Pasture legend, turned Navy legend and NCAA record breaker. That was a quarterback who was the ultimate rushing threat. He's the Keenan Reynolds of this offense. He is also next to unstoppable at times too. So those two combining. So if my math is correct, Pinion and McDowell have accounted for 260 yards and three touchdowns in one half.
Goodness, right there. That's crazy talk.
It's insane.
Nuts. Our good friend Ivan Aronin said this, that Mount Julia's up 10-7. They had a blocked punt that Page blocked, went in for a touchdown two plays later, and then Mount Juliet gets the ball back. They fumble in the first play, and Page goes in. So they scored two touchdowns in probably 10 seconds. That's why Page leads Mount Juliet 21-10. And I know head coach Trey Perry is preaching about mistakes will get you every time, and you get a punt that's blocked, and you fumble the next time you get the ball. That's the reason you're down by 11 points. That would drive me insane.
Oh, if they end up losing because of that short stretch, I mean, that's going to keep you up. That's going to be one of those games that, you know, obviously coaches notoriously remembering the tough losses longer than they remember the close wins. This would be one of those tough losses that you're always going to what if, you know, for a long time, just because that's such a short time in which a lead can turn into a multi-score deficit.
Ugh.
And football be that way sometimes, you know, and that's a tough one there. But Page is an interesting story, too, to keep up with as tonight goes along as well, because obviously they had a historic season for them last year, going 13-2 and losing to a loaded Powell team in the state championship and returning, what, 12 only 12 stars, 5 on offense, 7 on defense, and having to try to regain that magic. And if it wasn't for a loss to Nolensville, then in overtime, then this would be a game they'd be playing, you know, White County at home. But from the sounds of it, you wouldn't want to play White County at home either. So either way, this Page Patriot team is a fun team to keep up with and not to be forgotten in 5A. I know I like to talk about the Henry County Patriots in 5A being the favorite to win state, but Page was really close to it last year. They can be in the same boat this year as well. Not to be forgotten.
Yeah, you know, also, you know, we like to jump ahead, but the collision course, that if it stays what it is right now, that if Nolensville could pull it out and then Page can win, then they meet up again. You know, that epic game during the regular season, overtime, where Nolensville won. They'll meet again. This time the game will be back over at Nolensville again. That'll be great. So whatever happens, if White County advances and takes on Mount Juliet or Page, especially if White County advances and takes on Mount Juliet, that epic game they had during the regular season will be something else. So it shapes up that quarterfinal bracket in 5A football is just fantastic because there's so many good teams and anything can happen. I love the way that White County now has become that team where, you know, 12 weeks ago, we didn't even mention White County. Not at all.
On the radar.
And now you look what they got right now. I mean, they've got a tough task ahead of them. They can do that. But, I mean, it makes it so much fun, Elijah, on Friday night to think about what could happen next Friday night if they could pull this off.
What's so much fun is, too, is that we, between me and you, we cannot lose in this scenario. And the listener also cannot lose because if we had to rank or at least pick the top five games that we get the most excited about in terms of keeping up with live or getting live reports from Junie, I would say the Nolensville and Page game and the Mount Juliet White County game were two of those five. And White County and Mount Juliet was number one for a hot minute. And if anything surpassed it, it might have been Nolensville and Page. So we're either going to get a rematch of one of those games or a mixing of two of those teams. So we're going to win regardless. The real winners here are us and the listeners that have no affiliations to any of those four schools.
Junie Riddle just put out our Game Bits reporter about East Nashville offense in the first half. Zach Beard, 8 of 11, 235 yards, 4 touchdowns. Wide receiver Frank Gordon, 4 receptions, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bobby Joyner, 3 catches, 75 yards, a touchdown. And running back Tracon Waters with 68 yards rushing and 1 TD. That's at half. That game could be a massive in the second half with scoring and everything that's going on because, you know, Waverly's not going to go away. So, all right, we're late to the break. I'm sorry. We'll get more scores for you at the top and the bottom now. We get the complete scoreboard update, and they're coming in fast and furious, and some on the east part of the state have already getting close to go final. So we'll get all that for you right here. Thank you for joining us. We're here till midnight. That's right. You listen to the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here, 102.5, 106.3, the game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We roll with you till midnight tonight. Round two of the high school football playoffs across the state of Tennessee are taking place, and some games have gone final in the eastern part of the state. We'll get that for you. Big Joe alongside Big Kenny and Elijah Campbell down the line as we do at the top and the bottom of the hour. Scoreboard time. Hit it, Kenny. All right, here we go. Beach League Smyrna 17-0. Brentwood Academy over Pope John Paul 24-0. Cane Ridge over Clarksville, 36-6. Clay County over Whitwell, 26-0. Coffee County over Blackman, 17-14. East Robertson leads Bledsoe right now, 28-0. McCauley, 10, Endsworth, 7. Fayetteville, 14, Dresden, 3. DCA and Friendship Christian tied at 7. Interesting right there. Giles County over Loudoun, 14, nada. Lewis County, 21, Adamsville, 0. I got the score. I got an update. I had Lipscomb at 35-0, and I got a tweet that said Lipscomb leads Silverdale right now 63-7. So I'm trying to effort both of those right now. Anyway, Lipscomb's rolling. NBA over Christian Brothers. I guess the last score I got was 17-0. Page over Mount Juliet 21-10. Riverside leads Mount Pleasant 12-7. Nolensville over White County 28-21. Oakland leads Lebanon 24-7. Pearl Cone over Hardin County 14-7. Smith County scored again to lead the lead over. They take the lead over Fairview, 21-0. East Nashville 34, Waverly 20, Yoak 14, South Green 0, Bartlett 14, Brentwood nothing, Henry County 42, Portland nothing, Lausanne. How do you say it again, Elijah?
Lausanne.
I'm getting it correct. Lead CPA 13-0. Springfield over Mumford 17-0. Chattanooga Christian over FRA 36-21, a final and a heartbreaker. East Hamilton 43, Upperman 42.
Knox, man, we got to get our man Noah McKay. He was on the call for that one tonight. We'll have to have him call in here soon.
Knox Webb, 42. Davidson Academy, 24. Wow. Tyner over Westmoreland, 35-10. And Gordonsville, last score he got, over South Pitt, 14-7 right there. Boy, that's heartbreak for Upperman to lose. If that is the correct match, but I'm getting that's the final. They lose a very good East Hamilton team in the Class 4A state second round there. Tough loss for Upperman there, Elijah.
That is a very tough loss. And obviously, East Hamilton had a really good regular season. Obviously, they won their region. And really, Red Bank was the only team in that region coming into the season that I would have been taking that seriously. But, I mean, that's a statement. I mean, East Hamilton was no joke. And Upperman's held a lot of really good teams to low scoring totals. But if they're able to score 43, I mean, their offense is a lot better than I anticipated, and I definitely underestimated East Hamilton. That's a big win for them and for Upperman, for a team that's that good and as much success as they have had, the bar is more than two wins in the playoffs, right? Like they're that program now. And that was something I didn't think they would be 10, 15 years ago when I was growing up in the Upper Cumberland. And they've always been good, but they've just reached a new level of success here in the last half decade. That this almost feels like a disappointing season or end of the season to them. And that's just a testament to what that program has turned into over the last few years. So definitely a surprising loss. I kind of thought they would have won that game tonight.
Another team in the eastern part of the state that a lot of people in Middle Tennessee take notice of, and that's Alcoa. They beat Pigeon Forge tonight 42-20. So Alcoa keeps on rolling, even though that their coach for the last 15 years has moved on, but still that's what's going on. All right, so I want to get your thoughts about this. We had Coffee County Blackman. We talked to Coach Chandler Thigard last week from Blackman. You know, he's like, we've had like 8 straight home games. We've got to go on the road to Coffee County now. You know, in Coffee County, what a great story that is. You know, we had Coach Doug Green all throughout the year and everything, but here's a Blackman team, put up a lot of points. Coffee County, under the radar, played really good this year. You know, not spectacular, not the stats that, you know, that like, oh my gosh, what's going on down there? But this is a surprise, 17-14 at halftime. Coffee County's kind of got them right where they want them, and that's what Chandler Thigard, head coach of Blackman, was scared of, was the fact that playing into Coffee County's hands, and that's what's happening.
It is, and it's remarkable too. If they're able to, if Coffee County is able to hold on and win this game, it is a remarkable upset. Because even though they are at home and they are a region winner, you think about it this way: Blackman's is one of the highest scoring passing offenses in the state, one of in the country too. And it's not just because they have a really good scheme; it's they have a combination of great offensive scheme and elite level D1 athletes. I mean, we could talk about all these guys that are going, you know, Ben Marshall, the Taysom Hill-esque do-it-all tight end is going to play at Cal. And they have some receivers that are Mr. Football finalist. And they've got athletes all over the field. And I think one's a Mississippi State recruit. His name, for some reason, is escaping me. But he's going to be playing
Kenny
at
Adams.
Mississippi State, which – yeah, Kenny. Ah. Yes, exactly. Kenny, yes. Congratulations on your scholarship, Kenny. I always knew you had that vertical in you. But, I mean, Justin Brown, that's who it is. Yeah, Justin Brown. Kid's a remarkable athlete. And this Blackman team has put up some video game numbers. And Coffee County has gotten them in the mud and has been able to keep this thing close. I would love to be in that crowd tonight because of how passionate that fan base can be and how tough of a place Coffee County can be sometimes. It's one of those, I waxed poetically about Smith County and the advantage they have in Carthage. Coffee County, even when they don't have great teams, have a decent home field advantage. That's another very unique venue here in the state of Tennessee.
And Blackman just scored. They're like,
that's a broadcaster jinx if I've ever seen one.
So now it's 21-17, Blackman over Coffee County. Elijah, this Page Mount Juliet game has gone haywire. Page has now gone up 28-24. Mount Juliet came storming back. Thank you, Chris Smith, with the tweet. And then Ivan Ronan just tweeted out there that Page has rallied back, now taking the lead 28-24. What's happening? I mean, this is like last week. We got some crazy games, and we love it because this game is also going crazy. The White County Nolensville game is going crazy. Blackman and Coffee County, this is great. But this Page Mount Juliet game, that's nuts right now.
Oh, my goodness. And we were just talking about that small, two-possession stretch that really changed the game. And it went from, Mount Juliet holding a 10-7 lead to being down 21-10, you know, the snap of a finger, right? And then all of a sudden, a snap of a finger again, they take the lead back, and then Paige takes the lead back. It's one of those things like this. We're shaping up to have one of those all-timer 6-hour shows, Joe, where, you know, we have some weeks where there's a lot of blowouts and we fill time with talking about the funny scores that are going around the night, or man, we're missing a lot of extra points and we fill time that way. But now we speak three sentences and somebody else has regained a lead, whether it be in Coffee County, Blackman, Page, Mount Juliet, or Nolensville, White County. We're reporting on another score because we are drinking from a fire hose of football offensive production. This is incredible.
It is. Blaine Keller, Main Street Preps, reporting out now. Springfield now leads Mumford 24-0 in the third quarter. Are we got a collision course now? Springfield and Henry County, is that what we got? I mean, drop that block at the.
We are.
That's next
absolutely
week.
Absolutely on a collision course.
And that game
yes,
is
that would be next week in
Springfield. If Springfield wins that game, is that Springfield?
Should why wouldn't it be at Henry County? Because Henry County won the region. I think that'd be a little.
Well, the bracket on the TWSAA is showing that the bottom bracket team is the home team that next week. I'm with you. Because they
but that'd be criminal.
Is it not? Well, Mumford's number one team in the bottom half of the bracket. Henry County's number one in the upper part of that bracket on that end, and so it looks like the H is on the Springfield Mumford game, but that would have to change, right? Because that's not fair.
I reckon it would. Well, we might have to make some calls on that one because that would definitely be a stroke of luck thing for Springfield. Just so happened to be able to host that game because they did host it the first time. This would be throw a wrench into things for them to have to travel to Henry County, but. Either way, that's going to be an incredible game because it already was an incredible game earlier. And finally, for the first time in like 2 weeks, Joe, someone is going to get kicked out of the Elijah Campbell Undefeated Platinum Club. If you get undefeated through your 10-game regular season, you're in the Platinum Club. But also, when you lose, your season's over, so you basically you don't get to go out the door. You get defenestrated, and you thrown out the window. So unfortunately for Mumford, they might have a violent defenestration from the Elijah Campbell Platinum Undefeated Club tonight. We haven't had one of those in a hot minute. It's been a while. I haven't had to erase a team from my list in a hot minute.
Coach Chad Watson at Gallatin just sent me a note and said it would be at Henry County. So that is on the bracket that we get from the TWSAA right now. It's got the home team in the bottom part of that advancing. So thank you, Coach Watson, for listening. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
Taking time on a Friday night to listen to these angelic voices emanating from the 102.5, 106.3 part right there. So that makes perfect. It makes perfect sense. It should be, you know, Henry County has a tiebreaker over Springfield. That should happen. Now, if Nolensville wins to Never White County, they keep going. I don't know what to believe, Elijah. Are you even there? Are you alive? Are you a real person? I don't know what to believe anymore in my life.
Well, I've already questioned reality plenty of times in my 27 years on Earth. And I grew up watching The Twilight Zone, Joe. So I started questioning that reality really young and early on. So you can tell me anything, and I'm probably going to believe it. So this might be where we might need more help from Game Blitz reporter Coach Watson. He's a Game Blitz reporter, whether he knows it or not. But he is now officially. So if he knows the answer to that one or how that one's decided, that one's always interesting. I always assumed it was kind of the team that had the better record.
Yeah,
between the two, but the way that the verbiage is on the bottom of that website that you allude to might muddy some expectation there. So I've always kind of assumed that was the case, but I don't know 1,000%.
Right, so that's a kind of a misnomer having that home thing in that bottom part of the bracket. They should remove that, right? I guess
exactly. Yeah, or at least you know have some kind of. Annotation at the bottom saying this is a living bracket, meaning that we can swap, you know, the teams that are in place can go on one side or the other in terms of home team, but the placement of where they are seating wise is permanent.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. All right, right now my head hurts, so thank you, Coach Watson, for chiming in, letting us know what's going on. I'm still thoroughly confused, which is pretty much that's the title of my next book. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more here. Right on the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. right, welcome back to the Game Blitz Show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe Lineside, Big Kenny behind the glass, and Elijah Campbell down the line. A quick thing, I want to thank all the fine folks that all the Main Street Preps writers, the Tennessean writers, the guys at 615 Preps, the guys at D1 Highlights, everybody that pops in on Twitter on a Friday night. We may disagree, Elijah, all of us, on a lot of things in life. But the thing I find out with us is we all love high school football each and every Friday night. And, we put a lot of things on hold to go out and help these young men and these coaches, these programs, and bring it to you. It's truly a beautiful thing to see that on social media every Friday night. Maybe I'm waxing a little poetic here. Maybe I'm getting old and emotional, but it's still fantastic.
Oh, that's one of the best parts about high school football, especially for me, is obviously this brings communities together in terms of cheering for, sons, grandchildren, and, just cheering for your community team and everything that entails. But also from a media perspective, this is the most unique sports media experience that everyone has in their career. And it's one of my favorites because each week, we bring in these reporters, a lot of these reporters. Full disclosure, I met in college, and I covered high school events with them when we were all at Middle Tennessee State, the esteemed university, Middle Tennessee State, and their journalism department. We covered many high school games with each other, and it's a really cool way for me to be able to still talk to those people and keep in touch with those people and be able to text them, which game you're going to. And it still brings us together, even though we've been out of school for a few years. It's really cool to be able to just bring them back on and talk high school football and be able to dictate the coverage, right?
Like, right.
And that's one of the most important lessons I learned from covering high school football in college is you're not going to be the main authority on the Tennessee Volunteers, because in Knoxville, they have that covered pretty darn well.
Right.
Or in the NFL, a lot of people get paid a lot of money to cover that pretty darn well. So those narratives are already controlled. However, as a high school football journalist, a lot of people rely on you to give them their information, and they rely on you to be able to provide up to the minute stats, results, everything that's going on. That's my favorite part about this show, is that I feel a lot more important getting to be able to do that as a journalist and get to fulfill what I got in this business for, to be able to be an authority on something or to be able to be, a resource on something. And that's a really cool part about it. So waxing poetically, Joe Dubin, is a very appropriate thing to talk about. And with these writers too, they get to do the exact same thing. You might not follow some of these guys for their opinions on Vanderbilt basketball,
right,
or the Memphis Grizzlies, but you absolutely are when you want to see what the score is for this epic Nolensville White County game. So respect to all those guys that are out there, men and women that are doing that, getting footage, writing stories, because this is where you're at your most valuable, in my opinion.
It is. Good point there. Let's go back to the phone lines, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Noah McKay was on that Upperman East Hamilton game that Upperman lost by a point. Noah, what a heartbreak tonight. My goodness, man.
What a heartbreak indeed for Upperman. The exact opposite for East Hamilton. It was an amazing football game, which I've been blessed to be a part of a ton of amazing football games this year, but that's one of those games where it had a little bit of everything. Some big plays, a kickoff return for a touchdown late in the first half by East Hamilton, which probably ended up turning the tide of the game. It was right after Upperman went up by 7, and then you fast forward to the fourth quarter, Upperman down six after a missed extra point by East Hamilton, goes down the field, scores a touchdown, chases the point, goes for two to take a lead. Down seven, goes for two to take up the lead. They get it. Then they hit a surprise onside kick, recover that, go down and score again, and now they're up by 7, and they can either kick the extra point to go up 8. They choose to go for two to go up by 9, and this was with about 6 minutes to go in the ball game. And East Hamilton gets a huge goal line stop on the two-point conversion, and then Juan Bullard, the Mr. Football semifinalist, who was as good as advertised, led a 5-minute drive down the field, scored the touchdown. Coach Reynolds at East Hamilton decides to go for two. Juan Bullard takes it in on a little quarterback sweep play. They win the game with 50 seconds to go by going for two there. So the game had a little bit of everything. You would expect nothing less. This side of the bracket in 4A is very, very tight between Region 3 and Region 4, and another example tonight. But a really good win for East Hamilton, and a tough way to lose for an Upperman team that was game tonight, falling by 143-42.
Noah, did you get to talk to the coach after the game?
Not yet. Coach Kane for Upperman is known for He's great with the media, probably one of the best coaches we have, but when they lose, get to talk to him about half an hour or an hour or so after the game. And so it'd be interesting to pick his thoughts. But it's a party right now in Chattanooga. East Hamilton, this is a big win for them. This is a team that, of course, a fairly new school, only about 10 years old, hasn't been to this point very often. And so it's a really festive atmosphere, I would say, tonight in Chattanooga.
Wow. Yeah, our man Noah McKay from the Upper Cumberland Reporter was on the call for Upperman and East Hamilton. And Noah, one of the most surprising things obviously isn't like the crazy finish. I mean, getting a 2-point conversion with 50 seconds left obviously is bonkers, but I mean, only once this year has anyone scored more than 20 points against Upperman, and that was when Fayetteville put 29 on them. Fayetteville, a front runner to win the state in 1A. How was East Hamilton able to be able to put up the offensive production they have? You told me Upperman scores 42 points going into tonight. I'm telling you, they're winning that game. I'm very surprised that the game even was able to get to the point that it did late.
Yeah, I would have thought Upperman would have won that game by 3 scores before the game started.
Right.
And, you know, it was very interesting because Juan Bullard, of course, a converted running back to quarterback, and East Hamilton's got really solid wide receivers, but they've been doing a lot of the damage on the ground this year. And it was very clear early in the game, Upperman prepared to stop the run. They did a nice job of that really the entire game up until the final drive. But Juan Bullard did it with his arm. He threw it downfield, effectively threw up 50-50 balls, and Upperman's got good defensive backs, but East Hamilton tonight won those 50-50 battles, got some deep passes caught, some long touchdowns caught, and then you throw in a special teams touchdown, which they got at the end of the first half, like I said, and all of a sudden, scoring 42 may not be enough to win the football game. So I think East Hamilton had a great game plan. They didn't just try to beat their head into the wall by running the football over and over again. And in the end, Juan Bullard, they put the football in their best player's hands, and he rewarded his coaching staff with a big win. And it's rare. I can count on I think Upperman's given up that amount of points under Adam Kane once, and it was in the first round in 2020. And this is in his fifth season. They're a great defensive team, and they're a great defense. But tonight it was really a game plan coaching win combined with just a sensational player in Juan Bullard. And I should add real quick, this game may look different if Upperman's playing with what is arguably their best player, Jackson Rollins, who tore his ACL a few weeks ago. It was clear Upperman needed that home run style hitter in this game on both sides of the ball, and Rollins had been that player. So just is something interesting to keep in mind, and that's a player who's going to be back next year as he was just a junior.
Right on. And Noah, do you have any update, I guess, on Stone and Red Bank?
Yeah.
I've not seen anything from that one so far.
Last I saw, Red Bank took a 7-0 lead. I haven't been.
That's it. That's still 7-0.
And we've got a reporter there, so I'll tell him to call in. But yeah, that's not a surprising game there either. Those are two sensational defenses going at it in Crossville tonight.
Noah, thanks, brother, for the update, man. Sorry, you own a heck of a game, man, but too bad Upperman had to lose. I hate that for him, but thank you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Noah McKay. Smith County scored again over Fairview, 28-0. I'm not surprised Smith County's winning. I am. Yeah, exactly. It was my reaction exactly that Smith County is having their way with Chris Hughes and his Fairview Yellow Jackets tonight.
A Chris Hughes team getting shut out is something I didn't kind of see in the realm of possibility tonight. Like Joe Dubin, that is a shocking result. I mean, and if that one holds, which it obviously looks like it will, I don't foresee Smith County going full 2017 Atlanta Falcons, but if they're able to hold on and hold on to this 4-touchdown lead, and East Nashville is able to keep putting up the video game passing numbers that there are against Waverly, we're going to see those teams play again in the same venue, separated by what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, my goodness.
We're going to get another rematch of a epic game.
Ah, that's crazy. All right, let's take another break. We're halfway through the show with you till midnight. Some games have gone final in the eastern part of the state. We got more highlights for you, more reporters. We got more everything for you. You listen to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.